Greetings and salutations, Internet, and welcome to another episode of Who's Your Brother? I'm the older of the two brothers. My name's Christian.
And once again, as always, good people of the Internet, thank you for joining us today. I am, of course, the younger of the two brothers. My name is Evan. And you know what? It's been a great run. It really has. And I am excited to announce, truly excited to announce. Can we get a projection? Get on the screen? Yep, there we go. We are still going. We're still here against everyone telling us not to. we came back and did another. We've seen your hate comments. Mm-hmm. We've seen your unbridled fury and all the terrible things you're saying about us on the chat forums.
We have participated in several interventions at this point.
And folks,
I'm here to
tell you, we don't care. We do not care.
Not one little fucking bit. We still out here. We still doing it. Not giving a fuck.
Absolutely. So thank you again for joining us. Your hate clicks fuel me.
Click, 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 click. And on that note, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the hate moms.
Or as I know them, wasps.
That's right, with their little stinging comments. Fucking wasps.
Oh, but yes, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, whether or not they hate click us or not. Yeah. And you know what? If your mom's a terrible person, consider getting a different mom.
Right.
You can do that.
Absolutely. Find a new mom. Like, you know, find somebody to fill the void of motherhood.
That void's gotta get filled by something, and I'm just saying, you've got options. There are many possibilities for you. The world is your oyster, you know. So we here at Who's Your Brother, we say Happy Mother's Day. Find a new mom.
That's right. solid advice. If your mom sucks, get a fucking new one.
This is like the weirdest. It's not the weirdest energy we brought. It's one of the weirdest energies we've brought to start this show.
Quite fucking possibly. But I'm with it though, you know, because you know people always tell you, you know, like, oh, family over everything, you know, blood this that, blood is thicker than the water, this that and the other. It's like, hey, fuck that shit, man. If your family fucking sucks, you can fucking bail on them and get yourself a better found family. All right, straight the fuck up.
Hell yeah, you can. I'm all about found family trope in this house.
Yeah,
great shit.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Now, here's the thing. Like, I like my family. I clearly make a podcast with my brother, so I think I lucked out. Like, I have good relationships with my sisters, my parents. We're all good there. But, like, I know motherfuckers who, like, tell me horror stories about their family, and I'm like, that sounds terrible. Come to my Christmas.
It'll be great.
You can come hang out with my family now. I'll show you how it's done.
We'll swap stories, and hopefully the old man doesn't say too many inflammatory things.
Right, because he's going to say at least one or two.
At least one or two, but if you temper him a little bit, you can kind of like, you know, it's like patting a fire now. You're like, okay, he's going to put that out real quick.
Right, like the one or two things on a scale of 1 to 10 are only ones or twos.
It's true.
Instead of like the 7 that he can get to.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, Jerry, what the shit?
Hey, you can't say that. What are you doing, man?
Nah, it's okay. It's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay, old man.
But he's our dad and we love him.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
All right. We have a very typical format. First of all, if you're joining us for the first time,
welcome.
Hi.
Thanks. Good to have you.
Great to be here. You know, please take a seat, pull up, get a snack, you know, grab yourself a beverage. But
I assure you, the honor is yours.
Indeed it is. Mm-hmm. And our format usually goes a little something like this. We open with bread. And bread to us is what's going on in the world of food. What weird shit have companies and corporations devised and schemed and come up with in order to try and get you through their doors?
Right, absolutely. How are they selling you the food now? Because here's the thing about the bread. Now, we start with the bread because of the old saying, you give the people bread and circuses and they'll never revolt. Well, they're not giving us the bread so much. They've always been selling it to us, and now the bread's getting more and more expensive. Like, the fast food is not the value that it once was. So now the fast food has to pull out all the weird fucking stops and tricks to be like, hey, come on, you still want to spend your money here?
And I would say 90% of the time, I look at the weird shit they're doing and go, no, actually, I don't. Thank you. So I've got, I actually have a couple of things to bring to people's attention. The first one, I saw this just today. I was getting a little worried. I was thinking, eh, I might have to dip back into like, you know, a tried and true kind of thing. But wouldn't you know it, tried and true came through for me today. Folks, you can now get a bucket. Yes, 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 a bucket of chicken nuggets from Wendy's. That's right, Wendy's is back in the rotation, baby.
Hell fucking yeah. Bring in the bucket.
It's welcome good. Back, bring in the bucket.
It's good to see you, Wendy. Your place at the table is ready as usual. Brought a bucket of fucking chicken nuggets. Like, seriously just leaned into this whole, like, because chicken nuggets are having a moment. Like, that's a whole thing, you know? Nuggies or whatever. Like, I see it everywhere. So they're definitely having a fucking moment right now. And Wendy's is just leaning into this, apparently. Like, hey, you really love nuggets, don't you? Here's fucking 50 of them.
Here's 50 of them in a bucket.
Right?
Eat it like a hog or a horse. We don't give a shit. Fuck you.
Exactly. Like, sure, you can say this is quote-unquote for the family, but we know it's just for you.
You sitting alone either at the Wendy's or in your apartment because you can't afford to mortgage a house, sadly eating your 50 chicken nuggets. This will cost you $15, by the way.
Right, yeah. Fucking have it DoorDash to you while you're fucking streaming something or playing a game or something. Just 50 fucking nuggets. I wonder how many sauces you get with that. They should just have like one giant sauce for it.
One big sauce. You know, they just sell you a bottle of Sweet Baby Ray's at that point. Yeah. Sweet Baby Ray's, the premier barbecue sauce.
Sweet Baby Ray's. I do like Sweet Baby Ray's.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. If you're really into chicken nuggets, and hey, you can get them in original or spicy. That's right.
Of course. but yeah, no, this absolutely fucking makes sense. Like I said, in my mind, like it's terrible, sure, you know, but it's overly gluttonous, which is American as hell, you know, and it's just trying to seize on this fucking moment because the prices for fast food have like just gone up ridiculously. Like,
oh no, it's insane now. You kidding me?
Yeah, fucking none of those things are of value anymore. They used to be, you know, like they got a dollar menu, you can get like a couple things and be full. It's not good, you know, but it's there and it's cheap, you know. It is quote unquote food,
question mark.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
soft that question actually,
that does remind me though. What's I actually saw this one because this pissed me off. This has been a little bit ago. Caesars doesn't do the $5 hot and ready anymore.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
This has been a while, so forgive me, folks, for, you know, lamenting on this way past its prime. But still, motherfucker, Little Caesars, you had one thing. You had one fucking thing, and it was the $5 hot and ready. Mm. It wasn't good, but it was $5, and it was hot, and it was ready.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, I think those are, like, at least $6 now, right?
Yeah, it's like $6 or $7 now.
Yeah. Yeah, see, it used to be like $5 for the hot and ready, or you can pay $6 and get one with like even more pepperoni. Like, yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, God. It's like when there used to be $5 footlongs at Subway. Yeah, folks, for those, if you do not remember the $5 footlong at Subway, one, you might be too young to be listening to this. Turn it off. Listen to something else. But two, we had it fucking good, man. Had it fucking good. The sandwich sucked shit, but it was $5 and it was a footlong of bread. It was filling.
Yeah, yeah. Back in my fucking day, man, $20 used to like get you somewhere, you know? Like, yeah, that's enough for like some food, some weed, fucking something to drink. Yeah, some that was walking around money, like $20, man. I'd be lucky if I could get one meal for that now.
Oh my god, dude! And I'm like, I don't know, man. Now they are selling 6-inch like subs for $6.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that's their promotion now. They are promoting that. You are proud of that.
Yeah, because that's what they got, man. Inflation is just out of fucking control on everything. But it's corporate greed, as it's always fucking been. They keep trying to blame it on, you know, like Biden's fucking tax policies or the fact that workers got higher wages there for a while. When if you go and look at all the fucking corporate profits, they are in record fucking numbers. So that is why fucking the prices go up, so that fucking profits can go up.
Well, and that just leads us to it. You know, it is a matter of line must go up. You've said it before. I've said it before, and it sucks.
Yeah. All glory to the line.
And that is good. And that's going to bleed me into something else, because I want to talk about this one, at least a little bit.
What's that?
The video game industry right now is kind of in turmoil. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really not doing great. So, you know, when the pandemic started, mm-hmm. people were kind of locked up inside. You didn't really have a whole lot of choice but to watch something or play video games. You know, a lot of people, you know, took to playing video games. And the industry, you know, went up, you know, the industry skyrocketed, saw, you know, record growth, record profits, you know, things like that. Now that people can go outside again and touch grass, the line's starting to go back down. But companies don't seem to understand that that was just always going to be the natural trend of things, and are now like, oh no, dude, we got to cut people. Got to get rid of them. Cut it. You know, not going to work here anymore.
Right. Those people are costing us money.
The price of the average AAA game has started to go up, whatever. But worse than that, and within that, is, people are starting to get cut. Jobs are getting lost now, and worse than that, whole studios are starting to get shelved. Like, that is, the biggest thing that's been happening. Fucking Activision, you know, who, I don't know if Activision owns Microsoft or Microsoft owns Activision. Whoever owns who.
I would think Microsoft probably owns Activision.
I think that is the case. Whichever one it is, they've started shelving fucking studios, you know, and like smaller studios within like the bigger ones, you know, have started getting shoved to the wayside. And there's a couple that I am truly lamenting. One is Arkane. So for those who don't know, Arkane have had some flops recently. Redfall, that was the name of it. It was like a vampire shooter. That one kind of sucked. Yeah, it wasn't good, unfortunately. It was like, it should have been cool. You know, hunting vampires, shooting guns, you know, all that kind of jazz. It just didn't really pan out. It was kind of a botched mess. It was very buggy, but still. Arkane has still produced some fantastic video games. You may have heard of, did you ever hear Dishonored? Dishonored 1 and 2?
Yeah, I've heard of those.
Fantastic fucking games. Some of the best stealth games that exist. They made Prey, which is another phenomenal video game, and Prey Moon Crash, which I hold is one of the smartest video games made in like the past 10 years. It is a brilliant game that did not get enough attention. Okay. Speaking of, if anyone gets a chance, play Prey and then play Prey Moonfall. Yeah, or Moon Crash, my mistake. Moon Crash. Yeah, Prey Moon Crash. Give it a play. Fantastic game. What was that? Tango Gameworks, who recently put out I'm even looking at it on Steam. It is overwhelmingly positive on Steam, 97%. It's called Hi-Fi Rush. It is a hack and slash rhythm game that killed, apparently, at the Game Awards. Like, won a whole bunch of accolades. People were talking this thing up and down. I didn't get to play it. Still really sad I need to play it. But apparently, that just wasn't good enough. And the whole studio got canned.
Damn.
Yeah. No, it's and
oh, you made an award-winning fucking game that everybody loved. Not good enough, Chief.
Ooh. See, we can't continue to monetize this game after it's released. Therein's the problem. Right. You see, it made money, but it didn't make lots of money. It only made some money.
Right. It didn't allow us to keep fucking squeezing people for money after it was released.
Yeah. So another thing, if anybody out there gets a chance, I will definitely be playing it at some point. Hi-Fi Rush, please go support this game. It's truly brilliant. But yeah, there were a few others that got shelved that I heard about, and I was like, no fucking way. They make great games. Mm-hmm. But the problem has become, because the industry now is so profit driven. It's not about, you know, hey, let's experiment. Let's try something new, you know. Let's make a game with, like, a lot of, you know, creativity, you know, and a lot of, like, you know, a lot of things that are going to push the bounds. Yeah, maybe it doesn't work out, but, you know, we at least tried something a little bit different. No, it's now, let's make the same game 50 billion times because that's what makes the most money.
Absolutely. What can we make quickly and efficiently? I saw some, like, game executive dude quoting, I'm paraphrasing, but he was talking about AI and how the possibilities are really awesome because they'll be able to produce amazing games, you know, even faster. And it's like, you're just going to oversaturate the market with these, like, bland-ass fucking games. That's all you're going to fucking do.
And, like, I don't know. I have a ton of respect for, like, small indie, like, studios making these really cool and creative games, you know? In fact, tell you what. Take the next like minute-ish out of everyone's day and shout out a few of these. You know, a few of these great games. Cuphead, very small studio, all hand-drawn shit made by like 25 people. Damn. Lethal Company, one of like the most popular games and a fantastic time with friends, made by an extremely small team. Celeste, made by, I think it's Maddie Makes Games is the name of that studio. Extremely small team. Like, 4 people worked on that game. And it's an amazing precision platformer. Fucking Hades, made by Supergiant. Another really small team. One of the best roguelites ever released, made by, like, 20 people. Hollow Knight, one of my favorite love letters to, like, Castlevania and Metroid-style games. Team Cherry is, like, 5 fucking people, and one of them does all the goddamn music. Stardew Valley, a fantastic game made to capture the feeling of Harvest Moon-style games. One person made Stardew Valley. And here you go. Again,
impressive.
One of the best games ever made. I will die on this hill. Quick, die on this hill for you. I will die on this hill. Undertale, one of the best games ever made. One dude made it. One fucking dude made Undertale. You do not need big studios and big money to make impressive games. You just need people with creativity and passion.
Absolutely. People who want, who have a story to tell. But that's just not enough for big executives, man. All they want to see is big fucking dollar signs.
Yeah, no. So, anyway, there's my piece on that. Yeah. That's
Profit-driven will always fucking kill art, man.
Oh, it saddens me. It saddens me, dear listener. I anguish over these things.
The loss of art in favor of profit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, video games aren't immune to this. Why movies are even doing it? Everything's doing it these days. I believe you have something on that matter. If you would love to jump in and save me from my moaning and boning.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to talk a little bit about what Jerry Seinfeld's been up to. Now, I'm gonna start this out by saying I was never a fan of the show Seinfeld. Like not a big fan. I've watched it and thought it was funny from time to time, but for the most part, like, I don't know, I found it boring. I know it's like a super popular show and always has been. And Jerry Seinfeld's stand-up was super popular. I didn't think he was that funny. I thought he was bland. But hey, man, like, that's what, like, his appeal was, being the guy who's complaining about airline food, you know?
Sure. And I'll admit, I enjoyed Seinfeld. I always thought it was pretty funny. And though I haven't seen a lot of it, occasionally I'll catch a clip of Seinfeld stand-up and think, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not, like, you know, amazing, but it's pretty good. So I will comment that much.
Yeah. Well, recently, Jerry Seinfeld has been on a speaking tour, a press tour, that's the word, press tour. He's been on a press tour for his new film, which was just released on Netflix, Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story.
So, I admit, I've seen a few things about this movie. What is it? I have literally no idea. I am... miserably out of the loop when it comes to that one.
Well, it's a parody movie. I'm not gonna claim that I've seen the movie. I only watched the trailer for it and read some little reviews and clips of it. But it's clearly like a parody thing. Like it's supposed to be like in the 50s or whatever, and Kellogg's versus who is it, Post or whatever, or maybe General Mills, something. Kellogg's is one of them, but like they're both trying to figure out the formula for the toaster pastry. They think that's the next big thing in breakfast, and so they're having this big war. And Jerry Seinfeld plays like one of the heads of the people who create Pop-Tarts, and Amy Schumer, Yeah, it is Post, because Amy Schumer plays Marjorie Post. So they're warring to figure that out. And Hugh Grant is like Tony the Tiger or something. And like Snap, Crackle, and Pop are in it. At least they seemed like characters, but like... Either way, it's a parody of that, and it looked like a wild fucking, like, super silly fucking movie, you know? And it's number one on Netflix. Sure. It was number one on fucking Netflix, but I just think that's because Netflix just doesn't have a lot, and Seinfeld probably had his name recognition going for him. But it
almost looked, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like some sort of weird fucking fever dream. But the other thing that's, like, super crazy about the movie, besides everything, and, like, all the people who are in it, too, like... Jerry Seinfeld, Hugh Grant plays the Tony the Tiger person, but his name's like Thurl Ravenscroft or whatever. Melissa McCarthy's in it. Jim Gaffigan, Amy Schumer, like I said, Bill Burr. I think Bill Burr plays JFK. Christian Slater's in it. James Marsden. Dan Levy.
A lot of combination of funny and unfunny people all kind of stacked together. I'm not going to say who's who, but
they're there. You know.
They're there, but a lot of unfun people in there.
Oh, yeah. Peter Dinklage is in it. I saw him in the trailer. John Hamm's in it.
Peter, aren't you above this?
Apparently not.
Maybe the final season of Game of Thrones just broke him.
It must have.
It just broke something in him.
That was pretty fucking bad.
What's that? A Pop-Tarts movie? Sure, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Right, yeah. He was in that, and yeah, it was a season 8, and then he did the fucking the X-Men movie that he was in, and
I forgot he was in X-Men. Jesus Christ.
He was in the Hunger Games prequel.
Was he really? I actually didn't see that one.
I didn't see it either, but I remember seeing him, because every time I see him, I'm like, oh, Peter Dinklage, you're still out there doing stuff. That's awesome, dude.
I'm not sure it's good,
but I'm glad you're working.
You know what? I'm going to say it. I think it started when he did Pixels with Adam Sandler.
Oh, that movie's bad.
That movie's fucking atrocious. shout out Adam Sandler, but, like, damn, dude. You've made a lot of bombs in your day.
Oh, Jesus Christ, he has. But anyway.
back to another comedian making bad movies.
Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart story. So, yeah. Pop-Tarts apparently get made in the movie. And they're going to, like, the patent office or something to register the, to certify the patent for Pop-Tarts. But then all these fucking cereal mascots fucking raid the fucking patent office because they feel like if Pop-Tarts get certified, that breakfast is going to go out of business or something. And it's just really weird. And then it's like a whole fucking parody of January 6th with like the Tony the Tiger guy wearing like a QAnon shaman getup.
Oh, topical.
Yeah, yeah.
Jokes, comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it just sounded like some wild fucking fever dream to me. And like, I was just, of course, going to let this one go because I don't give a fuck about any of these brand movies that ever come out. I'll take that back. I did see Barbie. I saw Barbie. I thought it was
People did say, I actually still haven't seen it, but people said it's not a bad movie. Not a bad flick.
Not a bad fucking flick. But I'm talking about like the ones where it's like, this is the creation of this. Like they had the one, I think it was called Air, that was the creation of Jordans. And then they had one about the creation of Tetris. I remember that was a thing recently. And I feel like there's been other ones that I'm forgetting, but like that's been.
There was one about the creation of Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah, that was a fucking thing. So yeah, it's a trend recently because, of course, line must go up. So what do? We combine, they just make long commercials. That's all these fucking things are, super long commercials. And I'll admit, I did see Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, but that movie's fucking hysterical. But it is a super long commercial for White Castle. But it's an R-rated commercial for White Castle, so that's funny.
Well, you know, a shout out White Castle. You know, I can't beat them.
Yeah. But, so yeah, I have no interest in any of these movies. Like, hey, are you interested to see how this came to be? Like, no, not fucking really. Don't get me wrong. The one for Tetris, I watched the trailer for that. I was like, that sounds fucking crazy. But, like, I it wasn't enough for me to be like, I'm going to sit down and watch that. So, like, I had no fucking interest in this shit anyway. I was going to let it breeze right fucking by me. But then Seinfeld went on his fucking press tour for it. And he's out there bitching that the ultra left and wokeness have killed comedy. Like, oh, you can't say anything anymore. You know, there's some sort of committee that you have to go through, and then another committee, and then another committee, and they've got to tell you if your joke's all right. And I was just thinking, like, isn't that just like how it works in writing? Like you turn in a script, and then like a dozen different people look at it and read it and go, yeah, this is cool, but like I've got notes. Isn't that like a whole Hollywood trope? I have notes.
Hey, it's not just Hollywood. Small writers, i.e. yours truly, go through that exact same process. Hell, I'm in the process right now. I have beta readers. I have people that I'm, you know, sending my book to and being like, please tell me what you think. Do you think it drags? Do you think it needs this? Does it need that? And they send back feedback and say, well, hey, I really like this stuff, but maybe tweak this stuff or maybe change that stuff. When the book goes to print, I will get an editor. And that editor will say, hey, maybe cut this, maybe trim that, maybe move this here, maybe move that there. Mm-hmm. That's how it fucking works. Yeah. That's writing.
Yeah. And not to mention, he's out there saying, you know, like, oh, you can't do anything edgy or offensive anymore. And it's like, okay, two things. A, first and foremost, you are known for being the most vanilla, bland motherfucker that ever was, all right? Yeah. You are room temperature water and plain toast, okay? The edgiest thing I think you've done recently is this January 6th fucking cereal parody. Like, what the shit is that? But either way... There are plenty of, like, edgy comedy shows still out there. South Park is still fucking on. Fucking Workaholics was on. Fucking Always Sunny's on. And for fuck's sake, he was literally, like, just on the most recent fucking season of Curb Your Enthusiasm with the actual talent behind Seinfeld, Larry David.
Man, oh man.
So I think Jerry Seinfeld has just become a crotchety old fucking man, as most fucking people do.
I mean, that's almost certainly what it is. I think he's just an old guy who, you had your comedy, you had your things going for you, you know, back in like the 80s and the 90s, you know. But, yeah, I'm sorry, mate. Things change, you know. The needle moves a little bit, and you can't get stuck in the past, my guy.
Right, absolutely. And that's the thing, like, on these interviews, he's been talking about, like, you used to come home and, like, Lucy would be on, or MASH, or Archie, or whatever the fuck. And he's like, you know, nothing like that's on anymore. He's mentioning shows that are 40 and 50 fucking years old. And my favorite one was that he mentioned MASH, which is like, it was woke for its time, you know? That was an anti-war war show.
Correct.
Right? Do you remember the episode with, quote-unquote, the chicken? That's a fuckered up episode.
Yeah. Remember how, like, the whole thing of MASH was like, hey... These are medics, and war fucking sucks shit.
Yeah, it would bounce back and forth between being kind of funny and then just being insanely depressing. Like, hey, this character that you loved, his fucking plane got shot down and there were no survivors. Please keep operating.
Yeah, that's how that shit worked, dude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, here's this guy in drag.
Yeah. Oh, MASH. Mm-hmm. I still hold you very high regards.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, again, Jerry Seinfeld, crotchety fucking old fucking man with his fucking silly Pop-Tarts movie. But hey, since I brought up the Pop-Tarts movie, I have it pulled up here. Evan, from what I've described, what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes score for Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart story is?
Fuck. All right.
All right, we'll go with the tomato review and the user review. Tomato review first. Critics.
Tomato review. I'll just go ahead. Above or below 50?
Below.
That's already good news. Already good news. I'm going to give this one a firm and solid 29%.
Ooh, a little too low. 40% from the critics.
40% from the critics. Okay.
All right. Audience rating. I'll give you this hint. It's higher.
Higher?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. 61%.
55.
Ooh, not too far off, but you know what? Clean up the middle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, still not too popular with anybody, it seems.
I barely even heard of it outside of a snippet, kind of like when you have like Jerry Seinfeld saying some bullshit. And I'd kind of like glance at it and go like, what's he saying? I don't fucking care. And then like turn back. Like, I don't really give a shit about what you have to say, you know? It's like hearing the opinion of any crotchety old man. I kind of take it with a grain of salt. Like, I glance at it and I go, whatever.
What's this now?
Look at my reader's own. Let me put them at the base of my nose. I'm doing a hilarious visual gag that none of you can see because this is an audio show. But yeah, crotchety old man yells at cloud.
Yeah, basically. Fucking basically.
Although speaking of old men yelling at clouds, I razz the old man about this one, our dad about this one. The older he gets, the closer he gets to Abe Simpson. I'm convinced of that one.
That's 100% possible.
Like, I swear to God, his stories are getting more and more inane the more years go on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't know. I think you just kind of get a little more rambly because you're drawing from so many fucking things at that fucking point.
But regardless. Well, hey, in more movie news, we've got more circuses. The circuses aren't very entertaining anymore, unfortunately. I feel like, to draw on another Simpsons quote, it's still funny, but not funny, haha.
Right, yeah, abso-fucking-lutely.
Warner Brothers has recently announced that coming in 2026, we'll be getting a new Lord of the Rings movie.
Good God, I hate it.
Are we all excited? Are we all so thrilled that that's happening?
I am not thrilled.
Of course not. I'm not either, because it's fucking stupid.
Yeah. Did you read like the details and the shit that's going on with it?
I've read nothing because I didn't want to read anything. I know that like it's not a remake. No. I think they've said that.
Okay, so this shit was like announced on like some sort of Warner Brothers earnings call. It's gonna be a Gollum movie.
What?
It's a fucking Gollum movie. Peter Jackson is quote unquote involved, which I think means he's a producer, which means, you know, just means he put in some fucking money, because Andy Serkis, bless him and love him, you know, but he will be starring and directing this one. So.
You know. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
We're getting ourselves a motherfucking Gollum movie.
Didn't anyone see what happened with the Gollum video game?
They did not.
Jesus. Also, I want to say, when they say Peter Jackson is in quote-unquote involved, I think that means they forced him there by gunpoint.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Like, Peter, blink twice if you need saving.
He's passing codes in Elvish.
Oh, for God's sakes, if you need rescuing, let us know. Speak, save me, and enter.
Yeah, he probably is fucking, like, yeah, caught up in some shit. But yeah, no, a motherfucking Gollum movie. See, that's what, like, I was thinking too, like, because I had to think, I was like, didn't they make a Gollum game recently that just bombed terribly?
Because it looked and played terrible, fun fact.
Yeah, I don't fucking doubt it. Because again, they just produce this shit so fucking quickly.
Oh my God, I feel like Warner Brothers is really trying to save their asses on this one, because they're also doing a Harry Potter series. That's just the books again. They're not doing anything new. This one is just like, hey, you remember the movies? What if we made it into a TV series? Fuck it, right?
Right. You know all that shit you complained we left out? Now we're not gonna leave it out. In fact, we're gonna make up a whole bunch of new shit.
Woo!
Yeah. Going back to the well. This is all they fucking have now.
Okay.
There will be no more original ideas.
To be fair, Warner Brothers did in fact lose their ass recently. I think I saw this at that same earnings call where they announced the Lord of the Rings movie. I think they said some shit like the Suicide Squad video game cost them like $200 million because they were betting on it lasting so much longer than it is.
Holy shit, man. Yeah, no. That sure. thing tanked fucking hard.
It's... Okay, I want to take it again. Take another second here to really call out the Suicide Squad video game. It's like... It was so out of touch and so fucking, like, you showed up to the live service party, like, 10 years late, drunk off your ass, like, we have this thing, check it out, it's the Suicide Squad. And everyone kind of looked at it and went, what the fuck is this? What are you doing? Nobody asked for this.
Right? Take this and go.
Oh god, I remember how bad it got, but I'm pretty sure they reported like a player count somewhere in like the hundreds. Like yeah. It tanked.
Yeah, so fucking bad.
Oh my god. And hey, fun fact, you can still see concurrent players on the Steam page. So if anyone wants to go and look at how bad Suicide Squad's doing, you can do it at any time.
Any fucking time.
So yeah, Warner Brothers is really trying to like dip back and be like, so we got things, we can do stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Oh my god. Yeah, fucking a Gollum movie, a Harry Potter series, and $200 million lost on the Suicide Squad video game. Good job, Warner Brothers. You are truly killing it. Infinity Train died for fucking nothing.
Oh, man. Speaking of Infinity and like going back to the well, I've been seeing rumors that they're bringing fucking Chris Evans back as Captain America for a little series about Captain America returning the stones.
I don't care.
Yeah, Marvel is like, the well is dry with them.
It's so dry, dude. You have nothing.
Yeah.
Make original ideas now.
Yeah, you know what's fucked up? This is like the first, May without a Marvel movie, you know, besides pandemic shit. Like, in almost, is it 12 years or something?
Oh my god, dude. That is actually kind of wild.
Yeah. I didn't even realize it until somebody else mentioned it. Like, there wasn't a Marvel movie this May. I was like, there fucking wasn't. Holy shit.
I did not realize how consistently they've been churning those out.
Yeah, because May is, of course, the start of summer blockbuster season. Always has been.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and they have just all, since, you know, they've been doing their thing, it's been them. Like, every fucking first weekend belongs to Marvel. And, yeah, they didn't fucking do it. Like, last year they did Guardians 3.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Marvel. Guys, I think it's over. I think the war is over. Between everything that happened, you know, with your phase 4 or whatever phase it was, I think it was phase 4. Yeah. And everything that happened with Jonathan Majors, was that his name?
Yeah, Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, everything that happened with him, with Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania doing what it did.
And then the Marvels.
The Marvels also, fuck, guys, I think it's over.
Yeah.
Guys, I think it's over.
Well, that's the thing, though. They just cast the voice of Galactus in the Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Do we know who's taking that role on?
Oh, cast Harry Potter star Ralph Ineson, Ineson, as Galactus.
Let's pull up your IMDb page.
He is Arnicus Caro in Amicus Caro in Harry Potter. William in the
Witch. I have literally no fucking idea who that is.
Yeah.
Well, oh hey, he was in the Vavitch. Look at that.
I don't know what that is.
I refuse to. So it's The Witch, but spelled with two V's instead of a W. So I refuse to call it The Witch, and instead I call it the Vavitch.
Okay, that's fair. Totally fair. You know, if they spell it with two V's, it's the Vavitch.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You make a stupid poster. I'm going to call it what you have put on the poster.
Right.
That movie's weird and kind of sucks, but yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so Galactus has a voice.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that here's the thing. I think since they're doing the Fantastic Four, they have a possibility here to go out on a high note. Have your Fantastic Four movie. Have them fight Galactus. Introduce Doom. Have a big old thing where Doom is the final enemy. Call it quits on the MCU.
I really think you need to at this point, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You did all you can.
Yes.
I feel...
And you know what you get to do now? You get to reboot it.
I feel like Pepper Potts talking to Tony at the end of Infinity War. Just like, it's okay. You can rest now.
Right, yeah. No. I feel like I've been rewatching Lost. Still love it, by the way. Some of it hasn't aged so well, but whatever. But there's a part in like one of the earlier seasons where Jack is like at the airport and he's having trouble getting on the plane. And he's like telling the lady, he's like, I'm wearing the suit that I'm going to bury my father in. Like, I'm taking him directly from the airport to the funeral home. Why can't I wait until tomorrow? Because I need it to be done. I need it to be done. And that's how I feel about the MCU. Like, guys, like, you did it. You did great stuff. But, all right, now, I need it to be done. I need you to just call it quits. You did it, okay? Good job, all right? Congratulations. You fucking made it work for a while. But, yeah, you can rest now. I need it to be done.
And I'll be honest, I've kind of been falling off the MCU wagon since Age of Ultron, just because, so Ultron, for those of you who don't know, Ultron is one of my favorite villains from Marvel Comics. Mm. He's awesome and super cool. So when I heard they were doing an Age of Ultron movie, I was like, oh, dude, fuck yeah. You know, like, this is going to be so awesome. And then I watched it and went, oh, that wasn't what I was hoping. Also, so Ultron's just gone now. He was in one movie and he was just a villain of the week kind of thing. That's disappointing, but I'm sure they'll bounce back. And then for me, they really never did. They really just didn't. And
see, I felt like Infinity War and Endgame were like would have been good fucking endings for it. Like, that's good enough. And the Age of Ultron was more like the long weekend of Ultron.
It was more of like a, oh, I'm here from Friday till Monday, and now I'm gone.
Right.
Well, I guess. What dead, was I?
Dead forever. What a waste of Ultron.
Honestly, such a waste. Oh, he's like one of my favorites. I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Ultron, I love that villain. Hell yeah. Let's see what you do. Nothing is the answer.
Not much.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Marvel, I really need you guys to call it, all right? I really need you to call it quits. It's over.
And that's fine. You did great.
It's fine.
Good job, champ.
Totally cool. Not a problem at all. Great job. You did it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, but hey, that's just us bitching.
Yep. All right. Well, time for our last section of the show, the people revolting. So, political news. Evan, do you know anything about Robert Kennedy Jr.?
Basically nothing, honestly. I know he's running as an independent on the ballot, but other than that, I don't really know a lot about any of the independents, I'll be honest.
Yeah. He's, of course, a son of Bobby Kennedy Jr., who was the brother of JFK. Who was also, they were both assassinated, RFK and JFK.
Correct.
RFK Jr. has been off the rails for quite some time. He's a fucking anti-vaxxer. And he's running as an independent now and has been getting, like, just, like, the worst fucking publicity, I feel like. Every time it's, like, something where it's like, hey, your campaign sent out this notice that all these people were going to be at your campaign rally, and then all these people were like, I'm not going to his fucking campaign rally. I don't want shit to do with him. What? And he was like, oh, I didn't know anything about that. That wasn't me. That was the campaign, you know? And like I said, he's been on the anti-vax stuff. There was a fight that happened like at one of his fundraisers with people arguing. and then somebody farted or whatever, and he just pretended to sleep through it. But the most recent thing to come out about poor old RFK is back in 2010 or 2012, while he was going through some divorce proceedings, he claimed that a worm ate part of his brain and then died, and so he had memory problems and cognitive issues.
What are you fucking talking about?
He was saying that his earning power had been decreased. You know, I think it was so he wouldn't have to pay as much in like alimony or something. But because he had gotten a worm, a parasite in his brain that ate part of his brain and then died. At least that's what doctors had told him. And so
did doctors really tell you that, bud?
Yeah.
Did doctors really tell you that?
But yeah, so I'm not sure, you know, we can elect this guy who's clearly under the influence of brain worms, you know.
That, you know what, that does seem questionable. That does seem questionable, frankly. Right?
Now, are these like the good type of worms from like Futurama that will jazzercise his muscles? Or no, he's clearly claiming that they're bad worms. No. So can we trust this guy with nuclear secrets? Are those worms like stealing the codes to sell to other fucking worms and try to take over the planet? Who knows? But can we risk it? I say no.
Well, now hang on. See, at this point, it sounds closer to the brain slugs from the brain slug nebula. You know, the one that latches onto your brain. You know,
yes,
and,
yeah. Garlic shampoo, I believe, is the
just switch to a garlic based shampoo.
Orby Fry. Poor thing died of starvation.
Actually, I think Homeboy here might have the same solution.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he claims his also died, so yeah, he's got the fry problem. But yeah, this guy wants to be fucking president. And oh my god, you know who endorsed him recently?
Oh, fuck who?
Wait for it. Kevin Spacey.
The Space Meister! Yeah!
The ever coveted endorsement of fucking Kevin Spacey, disgraced actor.
Let's go, boy! Woo!
Oh man, yeah, Kevin Spacey like wrote a ringing letter of endorsement about how Robert Kennedy was always there for him. Like, oh, was he now?
That's fucking awesome.
Fucking wild.
Oh my god, I think that's maybe the last person I'd want an endorsement from. Maybe not the absolute last, but he's pretty low on the list.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh my god, hey guys, don't worry, known pervert Kevin Spacey is totally behind me.
Right, absolutely. That's gonna bring in the votes. That's gonna get the youth demographic.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus, hell Christ.
So yeah, things are a little wonky at the RFK election camp.
I really have to wonder what, as like a campaign manager, what can you say to shit like that? All right, listen, guys. Like, they're just in, like, a room, like, crying. It's like, okay, what can we do? Is there any way we can salvage this?
There is no fucking way. He's never going to be fucking president, but, like...
Oh, no! Fucking of course not!
Yeah, but every time I hear about him on the news, it's never a good thing.
No!
Like, okay, one time he used a campaign commercial that, like... JFK had used and just kind of like repurposed it a little bit, and like JFK's like immediate family had to come out and be like, hey, we don't fucking approve of this shit.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like we didn't want him to like use this shit.
Oh, we don't talk about him. He's you know, distant relations.
Yeah, so yeah, RFK fucking Looney Tune. Brainworms. Brainworms 2024, baby.
But I'm voting for the worm.
Absolutely.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
In other news, the Donald Trump hush money trial's been going on, and Stormy Daniels has taken the stand a couple times. And man, so like at one point, Trump's lawyer like was asking her, like, you signed this NDA, agreeing to never talk about it, and then like you just broke it because you wanted to tell the world about all of this, didn't you? And Stormy was like, no, nobody would ever want to admit that they had sex with Donald Trump. And
damn.
And at one point, she described him as an orange turd. Like, it was something quoting a tweet where she referred to him as an orange turd. And so that got entered into the record of the fucking former president on trial for paying hush money to a fucking porn star.
Fucking awesome, dude. It's fucking going great here, guys. Hey, rest of the... Hey, if anyone's listening from any other part of the world other than America, things. How are things where you are?
Yeah, some places of the world are right, but then we got, you know, like, Israel, Palestine, and Gaza, and that's just not going well.
That's true.
All eyes on Rafa.
Well, hey... It's a clown fiesta here, frankly, over in the good old US of A.
Yeah, it always is. It really fucks me up too that like even with all this shit going on with this fucking orange idiot, like, it's possible he could still be president because fucking Joe Biden's losing like a lot of the youth with his continued support of Israel and like all their fucking atrocities. It is a goddamn shit show.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But hey, you've always got Hoosier Brother to keep you company. Absolutely. And the flames to keep you nice and warm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and on that note, we're going to wrap it up. And I wanted to talk to my brother because I had heard something. So I wanted to ask him a question, man to man. Evan.
Yes.
What is your favorite bird?
My favorite bird. You know what? You know what, citizen? That's such a good-looking question. And it's so great that we live in a town where we can ask questions. Because a question without an answer is just a statement. Little Adam West quote.
Yeah, I was about to say, wow, beautiful, marvelous.
Little Adam West for you there. All right, rest in peace, Adam West.
All right, Oh, also, I wanted to give a shout-out. We lost Roger Corman, who was a classic B-movie director, and also once directed a Fantastic Four movie that never saw the light of day.
Yes, I remember that. Well, R.I.P., Roger Corman. He made a lot of great B-movies.
Hell yeah, he did. Anyway, favorite bird?
Favorite bird? Man, that is a good question. That is a good-looking question. I'm going to say heron.
A heron?
Yeah. They're weird as fuck. They're tall as shit. And when they fly, their legs just kind of dangle behind them. And that's funny to me.
That's totally fair. You know, sometimes we get a heron in the little pond we have behind our house.
I just think they're neat. I'm on that one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I also like a heron. My favorite fucking bird, though, I'm going to have to go with crow. I love its goth style, the fact that they're kind of smart, and the fact that a group of them is called a murder.
Hey, absolutely. Absolutely. Crows are extremely intelligent. They're basically in the Stone Age.
Fuck yeah, man. Go crows. Well, Evan, the reason I bring this up is because there was a popular trend on some social medias recently. Do you remember, it was about a month or so ago, when, like, the Roman Empire was a thing, they were talking about, how often do men think about the Roman Empire? Do you remember that being a thing?
I do remember that kind of, that bit. I remember it.
Yeah. Well, along the same vein, it became a thing where it's like, if you ask a man what his favorite bird is, they all say eagle. Eagle, eagle, eagle. They all say eagle. And I was like, well, that's not my favorite bird. I don't know if this is true. So, like, basically, everybody I've talked to, like, there have been a few eagles, but I wanted to get your opinion. And a heron, that's a nice random one. So, thanks, yeah. Listeners. You got to know us a little bit better and about our favorite birds.
Yeah, there you go. And hey, I tell you what, feel free, if you want, join me at home. Feel free to comment your favorite bird.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Absolutely. You know, and on that note, you know, don't forget to tell your favorite bird about who's your brother. And tell, you know, your friends and your enemies. And tell lizards, too, I guess. I'm not sure they'll be as interested as birds, but, you know, I don't know. So tell the lizards.
Yeah. But yeah, no, and
for but like, don't tell the lizard people.
Don't tell them, or the crab people.
Yeah.
But for like 1 second of a little bit of seriousness, you know, we don't pay to advertise this show. And if I'm being frank, you know, this is just kind of something that I enjoy doing because, you know, I get to shoot the breeze with my brother for an hour or so.
Hell yeah.
You know, but yeah, word of mouth communication is like really the only way we have to spread this podcast. So if you do like it, you know, feel free to share it, tell people about it, you know, because we enjoy entertaining you, dear listener.
Hell yeah, we do. On that note, thanks for listening. Keep bringing the chaos. Support the unions and free Palestine.
As always, be gay, do crimes.